guys, Alejandro back with another amazing interview with my buddy Brady Sharir. His organization, Pro Church Tools, helps thousands of churches really level up their church media. In this interview, we're going to be talking about belonging versus beliefs. How do you use social media to attract millennials? Guys, I hope you enjoy this interview with Brady. All right, guys, I'm here with Brady. How you doing, my friend?
Doing so well. Great to be here.
Man, this is the guy that I've been wanting to connect with for a while, and I guess it's a Canadian thing to play hard to get. Those are his words, and I did not know that, but now I do for context connecting with other Canadians. But, dude, like, you're crushing it, man, in the church space, you know, providing a ton of value to churches of all sizes. And, man, just want to commend you for what you're doing to further the kingdom, man.
Hey, I really appreciate that. I always say that every time I try to work outside of the church space, I can take the exact same skills. Throw more money at me. It won't matter. I'll lose passion for it. There's just something I feel with working with churches and ministries. I need to do it. Call it a calling, whatever you want, but I can't escape it.
No, that's the same. We were just talking earlier. It's the same thing for me. I did ministry back in the early 2000s, and then I just always had this itch, and that's kind of why I created the summit, to kind of scratch that itch a little bit and provide a resource for churches. Well, you're doing a tremendous job at that, man, at the forefront. You know, you're one of the guys that I really look up to in this space, and so again, thank you so much.
It was great to be here. I'm really hoping to drop some knowledge, help some churches today, so I'm into it.
We got to get you to drop that ninja stuff. So the first question I have for you is, what is your number one piece of advice for churches wanting to grow with social media?
I thought about this question a lot, and because I didn't want to give a cliche answer, and I didn't want to give some advice or a tip that isn't very actionable. Mm. And so I'm going to try to not do that. But the biggest thing I think churches can do doesn't come down to a tip, a trick, or a tactic, which, if you know me, I like those things.
Yeah.
I love to deliver on those things. But I think the biggest thing that a church can do to improve their social media, the biggest tip that I can give, comes down to the perspective and ways that churches approach social. And the way that you need to approach social as a church, as a ministry, is by putting yourself in the shoes of your followers.
That's good.
What most churches are doing that I see and that I work with is that they're just promoting their stuff. Now, if you're on the other side, that's what I want you to do right now. Think of a company or organization that you follow online.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's your favorite sports team. Maybe it's your favorite clothing line. Maybe it's your favorite restaurant. If all they ever do is talk about themselves and talk about their latest promotion and talk about their you know, it's just, that is no fun to follow as a human being.
Yeah.
I unfollow people all the time on social when all they do is talk about themselves.
Mm.
Because when someone gives you the privilege of following you on social media, when someone clicks follow and does you that favor, what they're doing is saying, I am following this church because I think they're going to bring value into my life.
Hmm.
So let me ask you this question. If all you're doing is promoting events, how is that providing value?
Mm.
It might provide value to you as a church if people begin to actually respond. Spoiler alert, do that long enough, they won't respond. But how is it actually delivering value to your followers?
Mm.
It's not. So what you need to do is put yourself in their shoes. Now, if you're a person that's following a church on social media, what is it that you might find valuable on social? Well, you might find valuable anything to do with spiritual teaching, obviously. But you might find it also valuable anything to do with just daily life, things that the church and the Bible speak to that we don't always talk about as much. I'm talking parenting. I'm talking about marriage. I'm
That's
talking
good.
About finances. The Bible talks so much about all of those things. You can give tactical, valuable information to the people that follow you in those arenas. You don't just always need to say, hey, you should join our small groups. Then the next day, you should join our small groups. Then the next day, you should sign up for this thing we have. It's called small groups.
No, that's super interesting. And I don't know. I think, and it's funny because one of the first interviews I ever saw with you was with Steve Fogg. And he was talking a lot about this as well, with really understanding, you know, being on the other side of your people and really understanding. It's like, what would you want to see if you're following a specific brand? And it makes so much sense. So practically, what does that look like? So I think some, for some folks that watch this, they're like, okay, we're kind of doing that. Here's how we do it better. Some folks are like, man, I need to take a step back, and we need to get on the whiteboard. We need to play, you know, kind of strategize this a little bit. What does that practically look like for them to walk through this process? Do they need to ask questions about what their audience wants online? Do they need to, in person, you know, take a, you know, focus group? Like, how would you practically advise a church to execute that?
We have this resource inside of Pro Church Academy, which is our online training school for churches. It's called 71 Templates, social media templates for churches. So I'm actually going to go through a couple of those templates right now, because I do want to get practical, and I don't want to just be like, you know, up in the clouds talking about high-minded abstract theories.
Context,
so,
man.
Okay, here's one that you can do. We call this template the unsung hero. There are dozens of volunteers, individuals in your church that, you know, never get any stage time, that nobody knows about. And I saw this great tweet from just an individual in the church the other day. You know, this tweet was a picture of a church, early morning, sun is just rising, it's in the winter time, and there's someone out there shoveling the walkway in church. So this church grabbed a picture of that, and the caption for the tweet was, "With 4 hours until church service, I'm amazed by this man already out shoveling the car park." So the unsung hero, this is a type of social media post. You know, this is a template that you can use. Think of the people in your church that never, ever get any recognition. Take a picture of them in action, maybe do it a bit stealth so they don't see it, and then give them some love. Tell a little bit of a story about them on Instagram, on Facebook. That's a perfect example. Let's do another actual template. This one we call the fill in the blank. So a great way to get engagement on social media, which is obviously one of the main keys, what you're trying to accomplish, because the more engagement you have, the higher the social media algorithms are going to promote and push your content. Word. A great way to get engagement is to use a fill in the blank post. So you could do something as simple as this. My favorite song of all time is fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite worship song that we're singing in church right now is fill in the blank.
Yeah.
My favorite animated movie of all time is fill in the blank. What this is going to do is they're really easy questions to answer, you know, but they're also not yes or no questions. Mm. So they do require a little bit of thinking and a little bit of opinion, but no one is required to be vulnerable to tell, you know, their favorite animated movie. You know, no one's going to feel vulnerable when they say, "Oh yeah, Big Hero 6, that's my jam." You know, and then someone else responds in the comments, "Oh, I'm more a fan to Shrek. You know, I liked it as a kid." And someone else responds, "No, give me Frozen every day." You know, and now you have engagement. So that's the fill in the blank template. And again, when we're asking ourselves, but go back to the first question, like, what are your followers finding valuable? Mm-hmm. They're going to find that valuable.
Yeah.
I know it's very like simplistic and it almost seems trivial, but it's not, because you're actually building community in this way. So if I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see this post from my church, I'm reading through all the comments.
Yeah.
And now I know these tiny little tidbits about people in my church. I'm like, oh, Stacy really likes Frozen. Oh, and Kevin really liked Big Hero 6. Now I see them in church and there's even like a talking point, you know, because I remember that. It's just a weird thing that you'll remember. You see Kevin in church, you're like, "Kevin, you like Big Hero 6? I like Big Hero 6. You know,
yeah,
now suddenly two people that maybe never connected before, now they have some common ground. Maybe me and Kevin, we go out for lunch after church. You know, I'm building this story here and a narrative of what could happen. But this is the power of simply using social media for what it's for. Let's do one more template.
Yeah.
I call this one, all right, let me see if I want to find a good one. Ooh, I like this one. We call this one the marriage.
Okay.
So, you know, my marriage, it's the most important human relationship in my life. And the great thing, we talked about this just a moment ago, about the Bible and about church and about family and community, is that, you know, marriage can be something that you talk about a lot, and not just talk about and teach, but demonstrate. And that's what's so great about social media. It's not really the best avenue for like necessarily teaching. That's maybe more long form at church, but you can demonstrate. So we like to call this show, don't tell. So instead of telling someone about how marriage is important, just show them how your marriage is important. If you're a lead pastor, if you're a youth pastor, you know, whatever role that you have in a church. So, you know, I'm looking at we have an example on this template of Pastor Judah Smith, City Church in Seattle. And it's just a post on Instagram of him and his wife. And the caption reads, "When you're snapping a herd of elk and your wife wants to have a moment, hashtag marriage." And there's just this picture of, they're supposed to be on this walk, but Judah's on his phone, you know? And it's just like a fun little moment where you get to see, oh, look, my pastor and his wife, they're out, you know, on a walk together. And oh, he's struggling with taking out his phone, just like I do. Hey, that's the thing that I relate to, you know?
Yeah.
It seems trivial, but it's not trivial. This is how you succeed on social media.
Love that, man. I love the practical templates. That's amazing. Judah's actually my pastor. Amazing. So my question to you is, because you went on that, and Judah does such a great job, I think, you know, social media to me is really like remove the veil from, you know, someone on stage or a celebrity or these big brands to the consumer, to us, right? And so we kind of see behind the scenes of their lives. And for most people, that it feels real, it's authentic, it's transparent, and there's resonance, right? So what are your thoughts on how pastors can kind of remove that veil? Maybe they're like, I don't want to kind of show that personal side. I'm a pastor, I teach. Do you have any advice for a pastor kind of, I guess, connecting a little bit more with some of that transparency on showing their personal lives?
Well, let's look at where social media is going right now.
Yeah.
Snapchat, consistently the number one most downloaded app in the world for months and months. Pokemon Go stole it for a moment, but I think it's back up there.
Yeah.
Then Instagram, an app that was solely built for photography.
Yep.
Then it introduces 15-second videos. Mm-hmm. Then it introduces 60-second videos. And then it just takes exactly what Snapchat has done and it integrates it into its platform, Instagram Stories. Facebook Live is now what they're pushing harder than anything. What are all of these platforms, what are all of these social media features doing, Alejandro? They are stripping away all of the polish, all of the dolling up, and all of the perfection of social media. Social media is telling you what it wants. It wants humanity, authenticity, and just you. So like, this is me right now. I'm in my office. I'm wearing a t-shirt and I have my headphones on. You know, this video quality is somewhat okay, but there's nothing I can do right now to make myself look better than I am. This is me. And for the longest time, we could get away with social media with the perfect kind of perception of ourselves. That was always the indictment on social media. Everyone was like, that's not real life.
Yeah.
That's just like people, that's what they want you to see. It's only their victories. That's just hashtag winning.
Yeah.
I know they're not hashtag winning. They're, you know, I know they're at Taco Bell and it's 1 a.m., okay? Don't pretend like you didn't go to Taco Bell. And now what social media is doing, and I'm going to say thank you to my generation, the millennials, for this, is that we value real life interactions just as much as online interactions. I think the stat I saw was 66%. So 2 out of every 3 millennials says an online interaction. So what me and Alejandro are doing right now, that's just as valuable as him and I meeting up in real life and going for dinner. It's the same.
Yep.
And so with that, our kind of what we're bringing to social media is we're saying this is just as valuable as real life. And the only reason we're saying that is because we value these authentic, transparent, just us styles of social. And so if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, volunteer, whatever your role is within church, and you are putting on like the persona on social, that is going to be a failing effort in the long run. And it's probably going to be failing in the short run as well. That's not how social media works anymore. But that's actually a good thing, because all you have to do is pick up your phone and I can just point it at my face and I can begin, you know, sharing my life. You don't need expensive gear.
Yep.
You don't need to be a photographer, a videographer. All you need to be is a storyteller. And you have your mobile device already. So just go tell stories. Be you.
That's awesome. So you talked about millennials, and we haven't in the whole summit yet hit on millennials. Here at PushPay, you know, we work with a lot of people that are trying to crack the code when it comes to millennials. In the academy, do you have any ideas or do you have any strategies to use social media to better connect with millennials? Or just is there just some advice that you have for pastors or churches trying to connect with that generation?
Yeah. So social media and just any interaction with millennials comes down to belonging versus beliefs.
Whew.
I want to feel like I'm part of your tribe. I want to be a part of your crew. I don't really care that much what you necessarily believe or do. I just want to feel like I'm a part of it. And this is a really big distinction from generations, people that are older than me. And the church has yet to kind of make this sway. It's going to happen when all of us become like lead pastors. Millennials, we're right now, we're like, you know, we're your youth pastor, we're your associate, maybe we're your church planner or lead pastor, but you know, we're not quite there in full volume yet.
Yep.
What's going to happen is this change will happen naturally as the, you know, the generations swap over.
That's the truth.
But what we see is like churches are just telling us like these are our faith distinctives. These This is our statement of faith. This is what we believe. And we want you to align with X, Y, and Z. And if you can say that you believe this, this, and that, well, then we know that you are one of us and you're welcomed in. And we're all like, I believe a couple things, but mostly I'm not really sure because I don't feel like I can be confident because I grew up in the age of empiricism and science and this is fact and this is not fact. And if you can't prove it empirically, I'm not going to buy into it. And so there's a lot of ambiguity in our lives. Mm-hmm. Not saying we are discounting those things, especially as a Canadian. Like, well, I'm not discounting those things. I'm totally open to those maybe being true, but I'm not 100% certain. And so if you're requiring me to be 100% certain, I just can't buy into that. Now, if you're okay to having dialogue,
that's good.
Dialogue that might not necessarily come to the conclusion you want, it might just be open-ended. If you're okay with having dialogue, that's great because I just want to be a part of your crew. Show me that I belong as I am, that I don't need to, you know, say yes to every single one of your core beliefs. Right. Now, I understand, church, like there are core beliefs that you can't compromise.
Right, exactly.
But which ones are they? There's really not as many as you might think, you know, when it comes to like Jesus is Lord and you know, God being real, like let's really focus on what matters most. Major on the majors and not on the minors.
No, it's good. Pastor, and when I lived in California, Bayside Church, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they talked about core values versus preferences. And so a lot of times we mix up a preference, like, oh, the worship style, that becomes a core value, and we have those mixed up, but I like that majoring in the majors, right? So you talked a little bit about the uncut, unpolished, the Snapchats, Instagrams, live video with Facebook. If a church is only using one of those things right now, or maybe two, what would you say they should be using right now?
We did a survey of our audience.
Oh, nice.
Which platforms do you use? And it came back 99% were using Facebook.
Wow.
And we got – this is several hundred responses. 99% were using Facebook.
That's insane.
40 Instagram, 30 Twitter, 2% Snapchat.
Wow.
Now, I asked the question as in, does your church have accounts on these? So – that doesn't speak to personal use,
yeah.
Only church use.
Yeah.
And even with Snapchat right now, we're still in like, I don't know about you, but I like following individuals.
Yep.
There are very few people, organizations, I'll say. There are very few institutions on Snapchat that are doing it really well yet. And we're going to get there. I just don't think, you know, the maturity of that platform is quite there yet.
Yeah.
And so really, it would be silly of me to say, church, you need to get on Snapchat, even though we have an entire course on it inside Pro Church Academy,
yeah.
Even though I use it every single day for my ministry.
Yeah.
The thing is, your church is already on
community
Facebook.
Community in America.
And so Facebook, for most churches, 99%, maybe not that quite high, but I'm saying, I'm going to confidently say 80% plus of churches have their biggest existing audience on Facebook. So you've got more followers there than on any other platform. And there are more people on Facebook as a whole than anywhere else. So your community is already there. The ad platform is already there. So the great thing is, though, Facebook literally gives you every feature that you need.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a distinct social platform anymore. The only distinction about Facebook is that it's the largest.
Right.
But when it comes to features, it will give you everything. Photo, video, live stuff, messaging, you know. And that's why I love Facebook Live. Facebook Live for most churches is the biggest thing that they can take advantage of right now. It gives you the authenticity of Snapchat and Instagram, but you already have the audience there. So you don't need to rebuild that audience on a new platform. And really, it pains me to say this because I love Insta, Twitter, and Snap, and Facebook. But it just makes sense for churches. It just comes down to the data.
Yeah, the Facebook Live's a game changer. And like a lot of people are, you know, what are some practical ways? And so one of the ways I thought of, I mean, there's so many different ways, right? But I think on a Monday morning or a Sunday night, recap Sunday service. And you might have 10 people that watch that live, but, you know, 10 times that may watch the replay later. Sean Cannell does such a good job with his Facebook Live. But any pro tips on how a church can use Facebook Live?
churches love to live stream.
Yeah.
And for the last decade, churches have been investing tens of thousands of dollars in live stream rigs. Like, if you want to do live streaming well,
community in America,
I'm not talking about even like 1080p.
A recent study shows that for the
average, you're spending $10,000 at least, probably closer to $25,000.
That's crazy.
Now you can do it for free.
Yeah.
And you, and not only is it for free, the technological complexities are gone too. You know, traditional live streaming rig, multiple cameras operated by people, switcher, encoder, hosted online, overlays, audio, or.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's dive. Like, I love your idea. This is the thing that I've been pushing churches to do the most with live streaming. With Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Take your existing live stream or take your existing online service and supplement or replace it with a Facebook Live service. Now, this is what I do not mean. I don't mean set up your phone on a tripod in the back. What I mean is, if you have a service, let's say your services are at 9 and 11.
Yeah.
Have your pastor have a service at 12 or 1 where he spends 15 minutes and that's your weekly online service.
Wow.
The biggest things that I hear from churches when it comes to why do you live stream, because I'm not a huge fan of it, is they're like, well, what about shut-ins? What about people that are traveling? What about people that are just checking out church or unable to attend? And I say, well, you can offer them two things. You can give them a live stream, which lets them be a fly on the wall, which lets them lurk in the background, which is fine for new people.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if they're just checking it out, that's great for, you know, that's fine for new people. But when it comes to shut-ins and people that are traveling, people that are in military, like they want to feel like they're a part of the church.
That's good.
And for older people, it might help them feel like they're a part of the church when they can just watch what's happening, which is unfortunately a big part of church culture, watching, consuming rather than community.
Yeah.
But again, this is going to be changing very, very soon, and it already has with everyone 30 and younger. I don't really care about watching a service when I miss a Sunday. I can check up with the podcast whenever, you know? Me just watching, it doesn't do anything for me. But if you do an online service, 15 minutes with your pastor right there on Facebook, now the shut-ins, the traveling, the military, now they get to actually spend time with their pastor. He can do a personalized, you know, 10, 15-minute quick devotional based on the message. Not new content. Then he can pray with those individuals, like real life, person to person.
Yeah.
Me and Alejandro, we're talking right now.
Right.
We can actually do that. We can go face-to-face, back and forth.
Yep.
You can talk directly. You don't have to talk indirectly. And churches are still doing this indirect communication where they're like, okay, well, we have our real service. Let's set up a camera and the people can watch. Or you could actually talk to those people.
That's good.
And so that's what I love about Facebook Live.
No, that's good. And the interesting thing is you are a millennial. You talked originally about putting yourself in the shoes of your followers. So I'm going to ask and flip it on you. Two questions. What do you wish churches, or maybe your church, what do you wish churches did more for you as a millennial when it comes to technology or the way that they execute church? And then the follow-up to that is, what are some trends, maybe it's similar to what you're going to answer, where should folks and churches be headed as it pertains to the way they run their services? I love that idea about that live, that 12 p.m., you know, 15 minute, but where are we headed and what do we need to do right now?
Well, let's go back to that clever alliterated axiom, beliefs versus belonging.
Yep.
Right now, all the major parts of church, small groups, Wednesday nights, and Sunday mornings are centered around teaching. We need to make sure your beliefs are right. So come on Sunday morning, I'm going to give you some good teaching, 20 to 60 minutes. Come on Wednesday night, we'll do some worship, and we'll do a little bit of different teaching. It'll just be deeper teaching.
It'll be deeper.
Come on Tuesday night for small groups, and you'll get to hear Francis Chan do some teaching, Beth Moore do some teaching. Yeah. And I'm just like, look, I grew up in the information age. I have all the information that I need. Nothing you say is going to be news to me. Now, that's not true of everyone. You know, everyone's at a different stage in their beliefs. But even with a completely brand new Christian, you know, the information that you're giving them is that's just kind of old school.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we need to get rid of it altogether. But what we've done is we've swung the pendulum way too far. Like those three elements, almost every church has that. Weekend service, midweek, small groups.
Yeah.
And what is the core of each of these? Teaching, 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 beliefs, beliefs, beliefs. And small groups are kind of, they're usually like shrouded in belonging. Like, guys, it's belonging. We're going to someone's house and we're having food.
Right.
And then we watch a TV of Francis Chan talking to me. It's still just, you know, it's beliefs with a little bit of food. That's all it is, really. Mm. So where can you insert belonging, like true belonging. So set up like a serve night where you and, you know, the small group, instead of watching Francis Chan, go out into the community and actually do something. It will be a little bit uncomfortable at first. It will be unfamiliar. But what's going to happen is real relationship will be developed. Every time I've done serving next to someone, you have that moment where you always remember, oh, I was there with that person. You never forget their name. You always remember the thing that you did together because you have a shared common experience. You know what's not a shared common experience? Watching Francis Chan. And this is no disrespect to Francis Chan. Yeah. I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if look at your church, and you can do like an inventory. Take an inventory of all of your major events and even smaller events. How much of them is centered on beliefs? And be honest here, okay? Yeah. Like, don't be like, oh, that's technically, that's good. Beliefs with a little bit of belonging. No, no. What's the major component? Beliefs. Okay. How can we begin inserting or replacing some of those belief elements with belonging elements?
Yeah.
That is going to be what's happening in the next decade.
So it was really interesting. So the university I used to work at here in Seattle, we did some testing our website to see which message, this is probably just from Brady and I, but you know, you can test different things. And it was really interesting. We tested a bunch of different things. We came down to the university being a place to belong, which my gut that would win, and university a possibility. So it was all about like this intellect and that wasn't the one I picked. So we did tons of testing, and a place to belong like crushed it. Like just won no matter what, because it's one of the six human needs, right? It's like people want to feel some sort of belonging. And that's why I love like at City Church, they have their, it's kind of like their framework or funnel of how they take people through. It's belong. They want you to belong. They want you to believe, and then they want you to behave. Like, that makes so much sense to me. They want people to feel a sense of belonging, connection, and I just love that idea of churches really flipping everything and focusing on, you know, are we creating programs and things and positioning ourselves as a place for people to belong? And just ask that question, like, how do I feel, you know, when I'm connected to a brand or an organization? How do I belong? You know, what are the things that, and that's, I don't know, that's where it's like you got to start asking yourself those specific questions, putting yourselves, as you said in the beginning, in your follower's shoes. That's a biggie, man. So where's the best places that folks can learn a little bit about what you're up to? And can you tell the folks a little bit about Pro Church Tools, the Academy? You're doing all some amazing stuff, man.
Yeah, so ProChurchTools.com is my company. That's our ministry. We've got more than 250 free resources on the site. That's 90% amazing. Of our content is free. We give it away. Podcasts every week, videos every week, new articles, training every single week. And then beyond that, we have our paid online training school, Pro Church Academy. And this is where we help churches learn creative skills. So you're a pastor. We want you to be able to build your own website, create your own videos, be a master storyteller, manage social media. We talked about social media this whole time. We have individual courses on Facebook, Twitter, That's Snapchat, awesome. Instagram, breaking down, because all of these social platforms have their own unique languages.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just do the same thing on every one. So that's our paid community. We open new enrollment twice per year. We've got more than 1,200 active That's churches incredible. In there right now. We just opened up to our newest semester, and so we're working through with those churches one-on-one. So that's the paid community, but hey, 250-plus free resources, and we get new ones every single week, prochurchtools.com.
Dude, that's awesome. We'll link up all this information, Twitter and Snapchat, because we're connected on there. But my question, last two questions for you is what send-off or what encouragement would you have a church? Maybe, you know, they're starting up in 6 months, or maybe they're right around 1,000 and they're just plateauing, not seeing engagement. What encouraging words would you have for a church using social?
Well, what I don't want you church to leave with today is kind of that feeling of overwhelm, that feeling of, you're right, we're not doing this correctly. We messed this up. We've got a bunch of work to do. I don't want you to feel That's discouraged good. By that, because a century ago, if churches knew that they would have instant access to every single human being in North America and across the world at the touch of a button, the amount of possibility and the amount of, you know, the gears that would begin to start turning in those pastors and ministers' minds, like, we're living in one of the best times in human history when it comes to reaching people.
Yeah,
so don't feel discouraged by the fact that you're not doing this right. Social media is brand new. Like in our course on Snapchat, the first lesson of it, I say, look, nobody knows what they're doing. This is the Wild West. We're going to figure this out together.
That's good.
Like, these things didn't exist like 15 years ago. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Dropbox, Uber, Airbnb. Yeah. Like, we're in a brand new frontier and we're all figuring this out. So you're not alone if you haven't perfected it yet. We're all just practitioners. You know, I am not a guru. I'm not an expert. I'm just figuring it out as we go. The only way that you can improve is by actually doing the work every day, even when you don't feel like it. That's how you improve. So just commit to doing the work and you'll see the improvements that we talked about in this whole session.
That's awesome, man. And the last question for you is, what is your favorite social media platform? Your personal favorite, not for churches, but your own, and why?
Personal favorite. My personal favorite is Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I love sports and I follow all the sports on Twitter. So that's why I love it the most.
All the sports. What's your favorite sport? Is it baseball?
I say basketball. I grew up a big Toronto Raptors fan.
There you go.
Living close to Toronto.
Vince
Hannity. I was very talented as a kid.
Oh,
so
nice.
I went to Vince Carter's basketball camp. I played alongside, you know, NBA players now, Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Olynyk.
No way.
Corey Joseph. Yeah, as a kid, we all played in the same league, you know, in Toronto. So, but then I stayed short and they got tall. Oh, well, you know, life as it is.
So, so how are they going to do this year in Toronto?
Oh, man, we've had the best three seasons in franchise history.
You have some amazing – I feel like your fans are like the Kansas City Royals fans, like – you can't hate on them. They're just like such, they seem like just amazing fans to support that outside of that arena area when it was just full. That was like electric, amazing. That's awesome, man.
What I love about Toronto is like we're the most, you know, multicultural city in the world. And you can see that in the Raptors fans. So obviously Canada is known as being a hockey nation.
Yeah.
But you've got so many people that have moved over from other countries. Mm. And when you go to these games, like I'm in the minority. Like there are like you've got every different color of skin, every different background. And it's just cool. It's this melting pot of like fans coming around to the same sport. It's unlike anything. It's just great.
That's awesome, man. You know, the funny thing is you said 99% of churches have a Facebook. Like 99% of the speakers have said Twitter as well. What is your...
Really?
Yeah, everyone loves... I mean, I'm the same way. You know, a business, a church using social media, get on Facebook, use the ad platform and go all in with that. For me personally, just to network and connect, I think it's just the best. For churches actually using Twitter, maybe some of your larger churches that do have a following on Twitter, what one piece of advice would you give them on Twitter?
Well, what's interesting about Twitter is the character limit. Unlike any other social platform, Instagram, Facebook, Snap, you can do as much as you want. But the character limit is unique. And so visuals play a huge part in Twitter to kind of compensate for the character limit. I also love to see when individuals and organizations kind of go on rants. So they'll just start replying to themselves over and over again. So like what's cool about like there's 140 character limit, but you can reply to yourself and kind of create these threaded long form posts. So if you have a church have never done that, try doing that.
That's
like take like something that's like slightly opinionated or slightly funny if it's a story, break it up into like, you know, 5 to 10 different tweets and just keep replying to yourself over and over again. And then when I log on, I'll see this big thread of tweets and I'll read through it. It's fun.
No, that's awesome. Well, dude, I told you earlier, man, really appreciate all that you do for the church. Man, you're a tremendous resource. I'm linking all the information up below. Appreciate you, Brady, and all that you do, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. When you sent the email asking me to be honest, like, oh, yes, this is awesome. So I hope this was helpful to churches. Feel free to connect with me on social. If you have follow-up questions, I do want to talk to you, and I do want to clarify. So @Brady Shearer on Twitter is the best. And, thanks again, man.
Thanks, bro.